Evening, if you have your Bibles, turn for you to 2 Samuel. And I want us to look at 2 Samuel chapter 9. I debated what I should do tonight, if we should take a look at the trials of Jesus. I decided to continue our study in 2 Samuel because of the chapter we came to. This is an interesting point in David's life. If you remember David when he was a young man, and he'd been anointed king by Samuel, but Saul was still king. And Saul had a son whose name was Jonathan. And if you remember from studying, if those of you who were here when we went through those early chapters of Samuel, when we were looking at Jonathan and David's relationship, it says they were knit together in spirit. Jonathan loved the Lord, and he cared deeply for David, his friend. And he said that he would be there to be a servant to David, and he would honor him when he became king. And he asked that David would remember Jonathan and his family. Now we know that Jonathan and all of his brothers, except one, were killed with Saul in the battle with the Philistines. But it said that Jonathan had a son, and his son's name was Mephibosheth. Now Mephibosheth, as a young boy, had been being taken care of by a nurse, a woman, and in fear to get him to safety, she was rushing to get him away, and she fell and dropped him, and he broke his legs, or damaged his legs, or something that caused him to be crippled the rest of his life. He was never the same again. But as we come to this particular point in David's life, David remembers a promise he made to Jonathan. And so I'd like to read in chapter 9. And it said, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a house of Saul, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any in the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said, Unto the king Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame in his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto him, unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Achor, the son of Ammiel, with Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Nathan, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Then when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertains to Saul and to all his house. And thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring him in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded, the servant shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, he said, the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both feet. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you. Lord, I pray that you just help us to learn from the lesson tonight. And Lord, as we look at David, may we understand that he really shows us a picture of your love, mercy, and grace towards us. And may we have that same spirit. Lord, speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This young man, Mephibosheth, could not do anything to make David's kingdom stronger. It says that he was crippled in his feet. He couldn't walk. It was so bad that when David returned the lands of Saul to Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth wouldn't even be able to till the soil or take care of the land. And so David told Ziba, Saul's servant, that he would have to do that for Mephibosheth. Probably asking, well, why are we studying this in light of the week when Jesus came and went to the cross for us and endured suffering on our behalf? I want you to understand that we're like Mephibosheth. We have nothing to offer God. As a matter of fact, if you look at it from a human, just a total human perspective, we were in a sense at war with God. And the Bible says that we were at enmity with Him. That means at continual strife as an adversary of his. If you look back at, as we've been going through the book of 1 Samuel first and then now 2 Samuel, you see at the end of 1 Samuel and the beginning of 2 Samuel, there was a conflict between the house of David and the house of Saul. And it was over the kingship of the land. Saul had the spirit of this world and did not want to rely on God. And the only time he ever really looked to God, and he really never called on God himself except a couple times, but when he did, God didn't answer because he didn't have any heart to follow God. But we see he represented really in one sense the world. David, on the other hand, did not possess authority, did not possess the land, did not possess a kingdom, yet he had a heart after God. And God anointed him because of his heart and love of the Lord to be the king. And so you had these two houses at war. But within the house of Saul, there were those who loved the Lord, and that was Jonathan. And we see that Jonathan and David were kindred spirits because they both loved God. They cared deeply for one another. And Jonathan said, I will make sure that my father does not harm you. And we remember how that he had given word to David that about his father by shooting the arrows, so that David would know whether his father's intentions were to kill him or not. And there was great camaraderie and compassion towards one another, which was bound in God in Christ. Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son. And David remembered Mephibosheth when he didn't have to. I want you to know that Jesus remembered us when he didn't have to. We had nothing to give him. We are of the house that was at war with him. And yet he came and said, come and sit at my table. And come and fellowship with me. And come and I will take care of you. Just receive what I'm giving you. And not only that, he gave back to us that which we had willfully given up, our relationship with him and all that entailed. Mephibosheth was given back a position that he had never really experienced nor had, because his grandfather Saul and his father Jonathan were both killed when he was a young man. And Saul's land had evidently come under the control of David, because David said, I will give you back everything of your grandfather, Saul, and it will be yours. Jesus, when he died on the cross, gave back to us everything that God had originally given to us, but we had willfully not inherited, but rather rebelled against experiencing it. And he gave it back to us. Our relationship with him, our ability to be a co-heir with Jesus Christ. Interesting thing that David did for Mephibosheth is he said, you shall sit at my house as one of my sons. In other words, Mephibosheth was going to have the same position and authority as David's own children. Through Jesus Christ, we who were at once at war with God are now sitting with God as his co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Just keep your finger in Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 9, and if you would just turn with me to a psalm that you all know. And that is Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a psalm of David. Psalm 23 expresses David's understanding and heart towards the Lord and his understanding of God's gift to him. And what he's doing for Mephibosheth is what David views God has done for him. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God is there to be our shepherd, our guide, the one who protects us, the one who calls us, the one who gives us direction. What David did for Mephibosheth is he came and he called Mephibosheth out of the city where he was living, out of a house where he was living, and he brought him under his own guidance. And he said, this is the direction I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you back the lands. I'm going to give you back that which you didn't possess, but now it's going to be yours once again because it was your father's. And not only that, I'm going to direct how you shall experience the fruit of that land. And then he called Saul's servant and told him the instructions that you're going to take care of the lamb from the Mephibosheth. David goes on in Psalm 23 and he says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, it's interesting. Sheep love green grass. And did you know that sheep will not drink a fast-moving water? It has to be still waters. And God's going to provide everything they can for their needs. He did that for David. He does it for us. And David did it for Mephibosheth. God provides and knows our needs and makes those needs so that they can be met and that we can experience a life walking with Him where we can experience the joy and the peace that is reflected in what a shepherd would do for his sheep. To take them to the place that they need to be nourished, to be fed, to experience water. God comes to us and He brings us His Word to nourish us, to encourage us, to help us to understand how we're to live spiritually. And then He says, I am the living water that is given to you so that you no longer have to thirst. No longer will we have to pursue and look for a reason and purpose for life. No longer will we have to wonder, why am I here? No longer will we have to fear. No longer will we have to be distraught. But rather, our hope rests in Christ because He is the living water that we no longer have to thirst again. Never again was Mephibosheth going to have to worry where his next meal was going to come from, because he was sitting at the king's table. He was going to be nourished. He was going to be fed. He would have plenty to drink. Jesus has said, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be filled with despair and distraught, but rather I give to you joy and peace. I give to you all that I desire for my sheep. Then he goes on and he says in Psalm 23, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We who were walking in unrighteous direction, in rebellion against God, have now been brought back to a path of righteousness. And there's a purpose that we've been brought back for His namesake, that He may be glorified as people see the transformation that has occurred in our lives, and they see that we, who were once on the outside, are now on the inside. We who were once at enmity with God are now at fellowship with Him. David brought Mephibosheth and set him at his table. He who was once on the outside is now inside with David, experiencing that. And he is there with David for David's sake. And really, David fulfilling a promise that he made to his father, Jonathan. God had foreordained that we should have the opportunity to experience salvation. And He brought Jesus to this earth that we could experience it and that we could be called out darkness into light and transformed for His name's sake. That He was faithful to His word. That what He had promised and what He had foreordained before the creation of the world would come true and would manifest itself in our lives, our believers in Christ. Then He goes on and says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. When sheep are being guarded and watched over by a shepherd, He has a rod and a staff. The staff is there to direct the sheep and to get them out of danger. You've probably seen the crook on the end of a shepherd's staff. With that crook, he can grab a sheep and pull them. So, for example, if they're going and they're on a hill and the sheep is walking towards the edge and could fall down, the shepherd can grab him and pull him back out of danger. The rod is used as a rod of correction, not because he desires that harm would come to the sheep, but rather that the sheep would remain where he needs to remain to experience the blessings the shepherd is bringing him into. And likewise, we are guided by our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, rod and staff. He is there to be there to guide and protect us, to keep us from danger. And also, he says that him whom he loves, he chastises because he loves us and desires that we do not get caught up in the ways of the world. What a better place for Mephibosheth to be than at David's table to prevent him from getting caught up in those who would seek to rebel against David. And what a better place to receive instruction from David than at his own table. What a better place for us than to experience God's direction. It says, and also that he is there with us in all our trials of life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff, they comfort me. We do not have to fear death. We do not have to fear the evil of this world. We do not have to fear all the things that are happening and going on around us, even though it may seem like the world is totally out of control, because we know that God is in control. This is one of the things that was very distressing to me during the whole COVID thing, is how so many Christians became so fearful that they didn't want to worship, they didn't want to go out of their houses, they didn't want to do anything. And instead of going to the Lord and His Word for comfort and strength, instead of fellowshipping with fellow believers and encouraging one another, oftentimes they withdrew. And to be honest, what they're saying is, in a lot of churches, people never come back. Well, God says, you don't have to fear, because I'm there with you. It doesn't say that we're not going to experience trials, because walking through the valley of the shadow of death is not something that probably any of us want to do. And one day, each one of us is going to have to face physical death. But the Lord says, even when we do that, He is there with us. And one of the things He says is, not only am I there with you, but if you are my child, I'll send my angels to collect you unto myself. We don't have to fear. Mephibosheth was not going to have to fear. Why would he fear sitting at the king's table? Why would he fear having the word of the king, that the king would protect him? What greater authority was in the land of Israel than King David? None. Whose word stood more sure? None. But in a greater sense, who's greater in all of creation than God the Father and Jesus Christ, who created all things? None. And whose word is greater and more sure and his comfort more real? There's none. And so we stand and do not have to fear. Then he goes on and he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He prepared a table. David prepared a table for Mephibosheth and did it on a regular basis. God prepared a table for us, and then he gives us everything that we need. Not only for physical nourishment, but he's talking about he feeds our spirits. And we can be eating in the presence of our enemies as they surround us, yet he's there with us. And anointing one's head with oil, you can look at in the scripture and you see anointing with oil. In the Old Testament, oftentimes anointing with oil would be a symbol of the Spirit of God would rest upon you. There was a special calling that was placed upon your life. We know that David's head was anointed with oil by Samuel when he was anointed king. We know that the high priests were anointed when they were anointed to be the high priests. And we also see that when Jesus came, and shortly before his death, we know that Mary went and anointed Jesus' head with oil. And also we know that his feet were anointed with oil. As a symbol, he said, of her love and compassion as she understood what he was going to face and what was doing for her. Because remember, as she came and anointed him, and the fragrance of the oil went, it was an expensive, very expensive oil. Remember, Judas said, why didn't we sell that and give it to the poor? What a foolish thing. Jesus said, she knows what's happening. She knows what's happening. Well, the Lord anoints us with oil. Oil in the Bible is often the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, remember when he was getting ready to ascend into heaven and he told his disciples as they were distraught because he was going to be leaving, and they said, I need to go back to my Father, but I shall send another to you, a comforter. He shall be my Spirit. And his Spirit would rest upon us. And you and I have been anointed with the Spirit of God as the Lord has sent his Spirit to reside in our lives. And what a blessing that is for us as Christians. We have the Spirit of God in us. We've been anointed. And he tells us here, he anoints us with his oil. And then he goes on. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the promise of God. David promised to Mephibosheth that he would sit at his table forever, that he'd be part of his house as long as David was alive. God lives eternally, and he says we shall be a part of his family, a part of his house eternally. The day isn't going to come when we as a Christian he's going to go, well, your time's up, you're done, there's the door. No, we're part of his family forever. And that's a promise that you and I need to rely on and remember. And so as you look at this, and going back to the account of David and Mephibosheth, David did for Mephibosheth what God has done for us. Jesus laid down his life for us when we were rebelling against him. Jesus became the good shepherd for us when we were the sheep that desired to wander away. And yet he did it all so we could be brought into the fold of God, family of God, and fellowship of God. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand the type of what David did for Mephibosheth is what you have done for us. One who was unworthy on the outside, having no rights to sit at the table, now became as a son, with the authority of a son sitting at the table. Lord, help us to be thankful and remember what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago when he went to the cross when he didn't have to. When he endured the beatings and the slander and finally being put to death and giving up his ghost. And he didn't have to, but he did it for us. And then rising again from the dead, showing that he gained victory for us over death and over sin, and that he truly is our good shepherd. And one day we shall sit with him at his table. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you in the week ahead. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have opportunities to share with others what you mean to us. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Turn to 482.
Marvelous grace of our Lord.